insights into the Holy Quran.
Indeed, this Quran guides to what is most upright and gives the good news to the faithful who do righteous deeds, that there is a great reward for them.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد والثناء لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وآله الطاهرين الطيبين المعصومين لا سيما بقية الله في العالمين روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء Assalamu alaikum, brothers and sisters. I would like to welcome you to another of our programs. We hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with the understanding of more of His verses. First, let's hear the verses.
وَإِذْ ابْتَلَى إِبْرَاهِيمَ رَبُّهُ بِكَلِمَاتٍ فَأَتَمَّهُنَّ قَالَ إِنِّي جَاعِلُكَ لِلنَّاسِ إِمَامًا قال ومن ذريتي قال لا ينال عهد الظالمين وإذ جعلنا البيت مثابة للناس وأمنا واتخذوا من مقام إبراهيم مصلى وعهدنا إلى إبراهيم وإسماعيل أن طهرا بيتي للطائفين والعاكفين والركع السجود
If you've been listening to the past few sessions, we've been talking about verse 124, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذْ ابْتَلَى إِبْرَاهِيمَ رَبُّهُ بِكَلِمَاتٍ فَأَتَمَّهُنْ And when his Lord tested Abraham with certain words, or as we explained, certain events, the tests are referred to as words, because the events that take place, the creation of God, is referred to as words in the Holy Quran. We explained it in previous sessions. فَأَتَمَّهُنَّ And he fulfilled them. He fulfilled and passed the tests and the examinations that were required for him to reach the level of imamate. قَالَ إِنِّي جَعِلُكَ لِلنَّاسِ إِمَامًا He said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I am making you the imam and the leader of the people. قَالَ وَمِن ذُرِّيَّتِي said he, and from among my descendants, قَالَ لَا يَنَالُ عَهْدِي الظَّالِمِينَ He said, my pledge does not extend to the unjust. We explained that this verse talks about a very, very important issue regarding our belief system, and in particular the issue of imamate and the concept of imamate. There were many different issues we mentioned regarding that concept and what we understand from this verse regarding that, because there's a lot of different aspects to discuss regarding the issue of imamate. We only wanted to go over the few different issues that we can understand from this verse and the questions that they raised, and we tried to answer them as well. The last issue that we wanted to understand regarding this concept of imamat from this verse is the last bit of the verse that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after quoting that Prophet Ibrahim, when he was made an imam, he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and requested for something, and that was that he says, قَالَ وَمِن ذُرِّيَّتِي And from among my descendants, he asked and prayed, O Allah, can you make of my descendants imams as well? Can we have that? As a reply, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَالَ لَا يَنَالُ عَهْدِي الظَّالِمِينَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, my pledge does not extend to the unjust. This has been the foundation for where, from the scripture that we have, we understand the concept of the infallibility of the prophets and the imams that we have. This is a very, very important part of our belief regarding prophethood and imamate. As you know, or as you probably would know, we have a debate and difference of opinion regarding the issue of the infallibility of the prophets and the imams amongst the different Muslim schools of thought. Some people believe in the infallibility, some people do not. This verse has been the foundation for some of the schools of thought to believe in such a concept of the infallibility of the prophets and the imams. Before explaining how this verse refers to the issue of ismah and infallibility, we need to clarify a misunderstanding or misconception regarding the concept of ismah and infallibility. The word infallible in English means that someone cannot fail, someone cannot have a fall. They are infallible. It is impossible for them to fail and to make a mistake. Also, the word in Arabic, ismah, has got the same literal meaning. Ismah means someone that is just basically cannot, they are kept from anything wrong, anything that's bad. Some people understand this word and think that our belief is that these people, the prophets and the imams, are kept from committing sins. In other words, they would have wanted to maybe to, and they would have had inclinations to, and they would may want to actually commit a sin and do something that's been forbidden in their religion. But every time that, God forbid, they would want to make or have the intention of performing such an act, God would stop them from doing that. And basically, it's impossible. They just can't perform anything that is haram. They just can't, even if they wanted to, do anything against God's will. This is a misunderstanding and a misconception. That is not what we understand and what we believe in about the concept of ismah and what we term as, or the English equivalent has been infallibility, that word has been used. This is not what we mean by that. Even if literally the word infallibility means that, that's not what we mean. This is a term that we use to explain and to refer to our belief regarding the imams and the prophets, which is that they did not commit sins. What we mean, first of all, by committing sins is that they did not perform anything that in their religion God had revealed to them for it to be haram. Not in previous religions, not in the following religions, because we know that the practical laws were not always the same. In some previous religions, we had laws that did not exist in the following religions, and also we have issues, we have laws in the Islamic legal system, for example, that we do not find in the Jewish legal system, and also the religions that preceded Judaism. So what we mean by sinless, being sinless, the imams and the prophets being sinless, that means they did not perform anything that was considered haram and forbidden in their religion, and they did not stay away from, and they did not lose out on and miss out on performing something that was considered wajib and required and obligatory in their religion. This is what we mean by that. Now, to clarify that misconception, what we mean that a prophet is infallible or sinless, as we just said, the word sinless is probably a better word to use, and an imam is sinless, is that they will never commit a sin. Not that they cannot commit a sin. No, they have the ability. They are completely capable of committing any sin and the worst sins that you could imagine. They are capable. They don't have any physical disability. It is not like, well, to explain that further, the reason why people have inclination towards performing certain things that are considered as sins is because of that physical capacity that they have. The physical body has got needs. Fulfilling those needs, there's two ways of doing it. For example, we have the sexual need. We have the need to eat. There's two ways to fulfill each of these desires that we have, and they are physical needs that we have. There's a halal way to do it, the sexual desire through marriage, for example. And there's a haram way to do it, fornication, God forbid, and other ways homosexuality, which is clearly haram in Islam, those are also ways to fulfill this physical need that we have, but those are forbidden. Also for eating and hunger, we have two ways to fulfill that need that we have. One is to eat things that are halal, and the other is to eat things that are haram. So physically, they have the most capable physical bodies, the imams and the prophets. When you have a physical body that's in shape, it requires food to continue. It has that sexual need. It has all the needs that anybody would have. So they're completely capable of committing any of the sins that anyone else can perform. There's nothing that stops them and like holds their hand back every time they would want to commit any sin. Infallibility means that they will not, and they will not ever choose to commit a sin. Now, the philosophy behind it, or the reality behind it, how that is, the example that they mention to explain this, and I think it's a very good explanation for this concept, is that infallibility means that their level of knowledge is at such a high level that they see the reality of that sin and they just don't have any desire towards that. It's like someone being hungry, the example that we can give, is like someone is hungry and you have the most poisonous food you could imagine lying in front of that person. It is food. It is the best, you know, smelling meat that's been grilled with, you know, the best, it's nice, some nice juicy steak that's laying there. But it's got the most lethal venom possible in the world all over that meat. If one knows how disastrous taking one tinsy bite of that would be, if one knows how much venom that has on it, although they see that nice juiciness of the steak, nice piece of steak, you see that juiciness, but you know and you have the information that this is full of venom, you would never ever want to take a bite of that. It looks really nice, but I know that this means death, and I'm never even going to think about taking a bite of that. The same way, the imams do see how much pleasure there is in these, some of these muharramat. The body is going to take pleasure in that, but that means fire. That means punishment. That means spiritual transgression towards the self. So they would not even think about committing that and performing that and for the want of that very limited pleasure to destroy their spirit, which is going to give them eternal life in punishment. So that is the philosophy behind the issue of ismah and infallibility, which we said it's probably better to use the word sinlessness. But how this verse refers to that and how this verse tells us, you probably already guessed, but inshallah in the next session we will go over that, inshallah. Please join us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Subhanaka ya man la sharika lahu, 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 subhanaka.